Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Friday afternoon, time to welcome to the program Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent. A rare in-studio appearance from Mr. Taylor. How are you, Guy?
Hey, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Thank you for having me.
Ah, my pleasure. My pleasure. You're welcome anytime. Just drop by. Your story caught my eye this morning. John Kerry says U.S. committed to reconciling with Iran. And of course, my first reaction was, I got to hear how this is going to happen.
Right.
What? Take me through the process here. What's really going on?
Well, this is the reason that this was newsworthy is that the Secretary of State, who's been kind of discreetly traveling with President Obama and hobnobbing and schmoozing with Benjamin Netanyahu and Israeli leaders and in Jerusalem and back and forth to Palestine this week and really trying to show like a deep solidarity with Israel, particularly on the issue of Iran's so-called nuclear weapons ambitions. While that was happening, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, discreetly sent out a statement calling for this kind of diplomatic peace between Iran and the United States. So, you know, it almost kind of felt slightly duplicitous. The catch, of course, to all of this is that Kerry's statement came in what is kind of an annual thing that, regardless of who's in power in Washington, the State Department likes to do, because the first days of spring in the Persian world, which is Iran, are a pretty major holiday. It's the new year, called Nowruz. So this is a big deal for Iranian Americans as well as Persians all over the world. And it's more really a Persian holiday than an Islamic one. And so Kerry, like Hillary Clinton before him, and even Condoleezza Rice, George W. Bush's Secretary of State, have made a tradition of putting out a really positive statement to the Iranians to celebrate, you know, happy Nowruz.
Right.
And that's really what Kerry was doing. It's just the timing of it.
How's that worked in the past, by the way?
I mean, you know, actually, it depends how you look at it, Andy, because there is a very underreported current of positive relations between Washington and Tehran. And that's what I pointed out in the story, is that last month, I believe, there was a delegation of very high-level U.S. wrestlers, like Olympic-level wrestlers, who went to Tehran to compete in the World Wrestling Championships. There was a little bit of headline action about it in the mainstream media, but not much. And, you know, I mean, the Obama administration was like, we're not going to stop them from going. We don't want to publicly encourage it. But at the same time, you know, we're going to recognize it's going on. So, and the Iranians, I think they're going through the same thing in their government, where they got athletes and cultural people who are saying, this is great. The Americans are here. We could beat them on our own mat.
Wouldn't it be fascinating if you could go to Iran, kind of walk the streets and get a determination from the everyday Iranian how they really feel about the U.S.? Because let's face it, the government hates us, and they have since, what, 1979?
It depends whether the Shah really liked us or not.
Well, that's true, too.
Although you should have his son on the program. He's around, actually. I don't think he's in Washington right now.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be interesting to find, you know, to get the real take as to how the people actually feel about one another. I mean, honestly, I don't have anything against the Iranian people, but I do against the wacko government.
Well, I think we got to be kind of real about this. There've been a number of civil society or non-government organization types from the United States who, you know, really don't have anything to do with the U.S. intelligence community, but they are just actually trying to work in Iran to get that type of information, to go out and say, let me test the pulse of the people, because I'm doing a report for American academia about this. And there have been very high-profile cases in the last 5 years of some of these people being arrested by the Iranian government. So the idea that we're actually going to go over and get an honest opinion from people is unrealistic.
Yeah. You know, when I first saw this story today, I thought, uh-oh, here we go. This is going to require a payoff of some type. If we're trying to reestablish a line of communication and a friendship, a renewed friendship, if indeed there ever was one, then this is going to cost us.
Sure. Well, look, no, the other side, the interesting side of this, though, Andy, is that the White House has been rightly and aggressively criticized, particularly from conservatives on Capitol Hill, for not standing up. And this came up in the election with the other Massachusetts former lawmaker, Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
This came up in the election with Obama, that the administration didn't stand up for the so-called Green Revolution in Iran, where there were massive pro-democracy demonstrations 2009, and that it was an early test for Obama, and he really just let them languish, and ultimately the Iranian government and the mullahs crushed the uprising. So, you know, the question is, like, well, you're going to not stand up for that, but on the other side, you're going to come out and keep up this sort of piecemeal lip service, happy Nowruz diplomacy. You know, we could be that critical. At the end of the day, I really think this is... You know, I have a lot of thoughts on it. Another sort of cynical thought is I don't think we saw this happy Nowruz message coming from the Israelis to the Iranians, even though we were hanging out with them. On the other side, I think that, you know, it's totally legitimate for any government, and the Bush administration did as well. It probably reaches back to the Reagan administration, although I think feelings after the hostage crisis were still very biting at that time. But there is a tradition of saying, you know, the United States respects the people of the world. It does not judge other countries and individuals in those countries for the actions of their government. That's been a line that the Obama administration has been trying to push since before Obama got into the White House.
Mm-hmm. All right. Before I let you run out of here today, sure. Obviously you're at the State Department just about every day. Have you seen a marked difference between Hillary Clinton's State Department and John Kerry's State Department?
Well, personally, I'll give you my personal answer after. Off the bat, no. In terms of process and professional approach, I don't think that John Kerry's views differ very much. I think what we're seeing is that Kerry wants to get something done so he can make a name for himself. So right out of the gate, he's trying to look at Syria. He's trying to, you know, get out there and say, like, are the Europeans really going to block arms to the rebels in Syria? I want to get some action on this. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Israel-Palestine conflict. So, I think there's a new energy. That's definitely for sure. But in terms of politics, he's really going to toe the same line, I think, and is out of the gate that Hillary Clinton towed. However, from a personal standpoint, I really think, and this might have to do with personality, it could have to do with career ambitions, John Kerry is immediately, he's just much more accessible to the media. He came down to introduce himself to the press corps.
Oh,
he's
wow.
been around two or three times, very accessible. His core people that are his so-called handlers that set up his interactions with anybody in the public, it's not a diplomatic professional meeting, they're very accessible. And in a way that Hillary's people, if you'll recall, she had, I'm not going to name names, but there were fights between some of her handlers and the media over they were just too standoffish and wouldn't allow interviews and telling people what to do. And I think it's softened quite a bit from Kerry, and that's either because he's not trying to run for president in a few years, or it's because he's just a different kind of operator like that.
You know, it's funny you mentioned running for president in a few years. What do your sources say at the State Department about Hillary doing
the same thing? Every single time I get on here, you try to bring this up,
okay.
And I don't think she's going to run. I really don't. Whether she came out on a gay marriage issue or what,
I
just
Bill
don't.
Comes out on gay marriage. She comes out on gay marriage, and come on, look, that was a 5-minute, well-produced presentation. That's not something off the cuff to the media.
I know, but they're trying to raise money. That's what they're trying. They're trying to raise money down the road. I mean, because you get Hillary and Bill to show up, and you're somebody who's trying to run on a Democratic ticket after 8 years of Obama, and they show up, you want to raise money, and they're trying to send a message to the kind of donors that they want, and I think it's politics, man.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll keep pressuring you. All right. Well, listen, thanks much for stopping in today. I appreciate it, and come back.
It's a pleasure to be
again.
Here. Thank you for having me.
All right. Guy Taylor, Washington Times State Department correspondent, 358, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT.